Welcome to the Script and Style Show, the web show where we talk about web development with the people that make it happen. Today's episode is brought to you by TrackJS JavaScript Error Monitoring. Know when errors hit your website with the context to find and fix bugs fast with TrackJS. Start your free trial today at TrackJS.com. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Script and Style, the web show where we talk about web development and the people that make it happen. I'm Todd Gardner from TrackJS JavaScript Error Monitoring, and my co-host, David Walsh, creator of the popular blog davidwalsh.name. How you doing, David?
Good. How are you?
I'm well. You had a hard time with some development this week. You said on Twitter you were doing some profanity-driven development.
Yeah, it was actually sort of funny. So my wife is a hairstylist, and she ends up with a lot of software engineers in her chair. And
there's a high density of software engineers in your area?
Apparently, because I hear about this all the time. But, they'll sort of explain to her what they do, and she'll come back to me and be like, hey, do you know CSS? And I'm like, well, it depends on if you ask me or my followers. But, it's always sort of these same sort of questions come back to me, and it sort of made me realize I don't think my wife knows like what exactly I'm doing all day, right? And so I asked her, and I tweeted this out, I asked her, what do you say that I do when people ask? And she goes, I just tell them that you sit on the computer and swear at yourself all day. And that's kind of the case, right? Like,
it's not untrue.
It's one of those things where I just sit here and I like swear at myself or I swear at the code all day. And it wasn't until she mentioned that to me that I realized like I am a profanity driven developer. Now,
I think you could take that and transform it into the next like software development paradigm and get some of that guru like conference speaking money.
That's not a bad idea. And I'm lucky that I work from home because otherwise I might not be able to get away with this. But someone who I presume to be your wife, because she says she's your stalker in her Twitter bio.
Yes.
Says that one Todd H. Gardner works the same way. Is this true?
I think I had a little bit of the same problem you did where I didn't realize that about myself. But after I saw the Twitter thread, because I hadn't seen it until I see myself get mentioned by her responding to yours. And I'm like, you know what? There are times when I'm sitting quietly in the room all by myself for maybe an hour. And then the first sign that I am alive in here is just a giant F-bomb just being screamed out of nowhere at something that I'm angry at. Something on, my code didn't work, a test failed that I didn't expect, somebody was doing something on Twitter I didn't like, those sort of things. Profanity-driven life, I think.
Hey, that's another way of looking at it. What are your go-tos?
Oh, I'm.
Is it just the flat F bomb?
Yeah. I'll decorate it a little bit. Sometimes I'll chain it together because it's such a flexible word. I think a George Carlin stand up bit where he talks about it's the most flexible word. You can use it as a noun, a verb, an adverb, an adjective. Right. You can chain it together and make whole sentences out of it.
Of course.
And so I like to riff on that.
I catch myself with a lot of, David, what the F are you doing? Like that's my big. That's my big one. But, here's another question before we get started with today's topic. How well do you think your wife knows what you do? But, on the day-to-day?
Some days are better than others. Like, she's probably watching right now, honestly. And so I need to kind of, temper the words a little bit. Some days she'll come in or, we'll be talking at the end of the day. And she'll ask a question that just gives me this profane, thing of, she really understands exactly what I did today. She'll just ask, a very pointed question. Not, about how the code behaves, but just kind of an understanding part about the industry.
Yeah.
And then in other days she'll ask a question that makes me think she has no idea and she thinks I play video games all day.
See, part of what... I can't decide whether I like this or not. The part of me wants it to be I don't want her to even care what I'm doing all day, as long as, the bills are paid and, everything's happy. But the other part of me wants to look her right in the face and go, creating tests for Firefox is not easy. And I want like someone to understand me, because no one, you know, nobody around me understands the struggle sometimes.
There is this thing where you've had a long day programming. You've been sitting there, you're very intense. Your brain is just tired from all the work you've done. But you stand up and you walk out of your office or out of your cube or away from your desk or whatever. And people outside the industry don't give you any sympathy at all. Right. And I mean, maybe we don't really deserve it, because we did just sit on our ass all day.
Right.
And like type.
Right.
Ultimately we're typists.
Right.
Is the physical action that we're performing. But like, it is exhausting. And I want some credibility. I want some recognition that I worked hard today, but did I? I don't know. Maybe I didn't.
Not to people outside of us. And that's another topic for another day. But you this week were at a conference, and that got me to thinking that we should talk about conferences.
I think this is a great topic. I am super excited to talk about our topic today, which is why you should go to a software conference or shouldn't go to a software conference, and how to be successful at what you do. Like, if you're going to spend the time and the money and the energy to go and attend a software conference, what kind of conference should it be? What should you do there? And how do you get the most out of it?
And actually, like I told you before we started, this is going to be a bit therapeutic for me, because for once on this podcast, I get to be the curmudgeon and you're going to be the one that talks me off the ledge.
Yeah, usually I love being the curmudgeon and being like, this new JavaScript framework, blah, blah, get off my lawn. I walked to school uphill both ways kind of thing.
Right.
But this time I'm the one who's super excited about this.
Absolutely. And a little background from my side, and you can give your background in a second. I don't go to a lot of conferences, and I never really have. My first job, the small web shop that I worked at for 5 years, they would not pay to send me to a conference, right? Even in the area, much less, you know, out in California, for example. And the conferences that I went to, when I did start going to them, I didn't necessarily enjoy. But that's because I was doing things wrong. I wasn't putting myself in a position to be successful at a conference. I didn't know what I was doing. So hopefully people will learn out of my experience how to be successful and not become jaded like myself. But you are much more experienced with conferences. You've run them and then you've been to a bunch of them. Like, what's your background here?
Yeah, so when I was an employee many years ago, I had the opportunity to go to conferences. Just as an employee, using corporate training budgets and that sort of thing. And through that, I had a chance to go to a bunch of the Microsoft big ones like TechEd. I've been to TechEds in Orlando and Boston. I don't know if they still do those, but those were both like, 10,000 person events, giant things. And then I've been to a Dreamforce conference, which is Salesforce's big thing out in San Francisco. And those are the ones I went just as a straight up corporate attendee. After I kind of got out of that, I started speaking at conferences because I didn't have the money to pay myself to go. And so speaking was a way for me to continue to go to them. And so I've been to regional conferences and national conferences and international ones at all different kinds of sizes and different kinds of communities. So I think I have a pretty broad set of experience of what different kinds of conferences are and the different experiences you're going to get off of it.
Awesome. So let's kick it off with, why should I go to a conference? What am I going to get out of a conference?
All right. So there's a couple of different things that the conference is trying to bill itself at. Generally, there is like a technology topic, right? It might be super broad and there'll be like general programming practice kind of talks at that conference. Those are generally called like a polyglot conference. Or though it might be very specific. It might be language specific, or it might be even more specific down to like a framework of like, we're only going to talk about React. This is like React Rally, right in the name. That's what it's going to be. Don't go expecting anything other than React, because that's what they're going to do. But they're going to dive real deep into it, right? You're going to get a lot more focused content there. So the content is one part of it, is picking the conference of the kind of area that you want to learn in. And depending on the conference and how it's positioned itself, will vary based on how what kind of talks they have. Maybe it'll be introductory. You know, it'll some conferences, there'll be talks that is essentially a re-presentation of the docs and the blog posts that are foundational to it. And if you're good at digesting that, then you don't really need to go to that kind of conference or that kind of talk. Other ones will be like deep dive, where you'll understand more of the mechanics. And those are the conferences that invite the people who built the framework or are part of the language or are core to the community. And you can understand much more about the actual internals to something than you would ever be able to get from documentation kind of thing.
Sure.
But what I feel is the real benefit, aside from the content, is the people. It's not that you're going to go and you're going to watch a session and learn something, but you're going to go and watch a session from this person. And that person has a lot to teach you. That person could be a friend. You could become a friend. It could become a colleague. It could become a mentor. Being able to go to that conference and hang out with that person is going to give you a different perspective of not only how something works, but why does it work that way? And what was this person's motivations on doing it? And depending on how well you can, you know, build a relationship with the people that you go with, you might be able to influence the directions yourself afterwards. And so I feel like a big reason of why you should go to a software conference shouldn't be about what you're going to learn, because there's a lot of different avenues on how to learn technology topics today, but who is going to be there and how can you expand your network to include those people?
Yeah, networking is super important at conferences. And one sort of one thing that I go to twice a year is the Mozilla All Hands, where they ship us all to one place. And it's a lot like a conference, but when I go there, I'm more excited to figure out what people are working on and to meet people that I've been working with through contributing. And without having made those connections, I wouldn't be on DevTools right now. I probably wouldn't be at Mozilla. So I couldn't agree more that it's the people in the networking that's going to be the most important thing.
Sorry about that. So understanding the people, that's where I put the preference on. But you'll definitely get a bunch out of the content too. And so the content usually defines the group of people that will be at a conference. And so they're, you know, one kind of feeds the other. And understanding that is that there's a lot of different kinds of conferences out there. They're not just split up by region, and they're not all the same, and they don't all have the same focus. They don't attract the same kind of people. And so it does take some research to figure out what is the right conference for you. Very few people are fortunate enough to be able to go to lots of conferences every year. If you're lucky, you might have the budget to go to you know, two, three, maybe one. Maybe you're paying for it yourself if you want to go to it. There's all kinds of constraints. And so we should kind of break down and talk about, you know, the different ways you can look at a conference. One of the ways is kind of the tech that they're focused on. And the biggest, I guess, separation between the two would be like generally a commercial focused tech stack or an open source focused tech stack, because they're going to attract different groups of people.
So I've never been to a commercial conference. I've spent like my entire life in open source. So what you having said that you went to Microsoft conferences, what are some of the difference between the obvious differences, I should say, outside of just the focus on their products? Like, are there bigger differences between the types of conferences, open source and commercial?
I think it attracts a different audience to who's going to be there, right? So if you go to a Microsoft or a Java One or a Salesforce or any conference that kind of exists in those ecosystems where they're talking to .NET or Java or, you know, other commercial-based platforms, you know, pay-to-play kind of situations.
Yeah.
The general thing is that the people who go to that are expecting to exchange money for services. That is the unwritten exception. And it's not just between you and Microsoft or you and Oracle. It's a vendor community will come together who provide additional tools. And the people who then go to it are usually mid to senior to architect to kind of dev manager kind of people at big companies that have budgets to spend money on software development.
Sure.
And so that's your audience of people that you're going to connect with. And the vendors are there because the vendors want to sell things to those people, and those people have money. And so that's the audience that gets created. Now, what that tends to leave is that the conversations tend to be very enterprise driven, right? It's not going to be about artistic uses of tech. It's not going to be about culture. It's not going to be about like, here's this cool project that we built and we released it open source. This is going to be about like case studies and how to increase your efficiency.
Sure.
Or it's going to be about how to assemble a really efficient dev team. Or it's going to be about how do you migrate from this version to this version. It's going to be very practical things that businesses need to do, because that's how they justify the ROI to prove
right.
to go. Because ultimately, those kind of conferences are going to be very financially based.
Sure. Yeah, I don't think I would do very well at a commercial conference. I get why they're put on. I get why businesses want to send their employees there. I get why the employees would want to go. But again, having been in open source my entire life, I don't think I would do well at one of those because it's just out of my interest, right? It seems too limiting for me, but I understand why they exist.
Whereas the flip side with an open source conference, right, is the underlying assumption is that the things that we're talking about are free. They are open source. They are
right.
part of the community. Sometimes there are vendors that participate in these, but they usually are more like altruistically centered, where like they might not be exclusively about money
right.
or maybe they are. They just have like an interesting business model. And generally the attendees aren't at a place either where their intention is to pay for software
right.
or they're just more junior. They're not in that same situation where they're in an enterprise looking to exchange dollars for services and efficiencies. They might be in the open source space themselves. They might be volunteering. They might be trying to build out their portfolio. They might be part of one of these big corporations that then reinvests in open source. And so you get a little bit different mix of people there. It's there's usually a lot more like tech evangelist folks who go to those open source conferences because they're trying to draw in this popularity of
right.
of open source projects and the people who are the personalities in those communities.
Yes. The open source conferences that I've been to have been very positive and but I will say that most of the time that I've gone to open source conferences, I've spoken at them. So I haven't had a lot of time on the other side of that. But my experiences have generally been okay with open source conferences. What are some of the open source conferences you've been to? You mentioned some of the others. Well, you run a few, right?
So the conferences that I've worked with, I wouldn't say that I've run one completely by myself.
PubConf, man.
PubConf I run by myself, but PubConf is a party.
Yes.
It's not, I mean, I have talks, but they're 5-minute talks, and it's just about jokes. I'm picking people who I think have stage presence to come up and be able to tell a joke.
Yeah.
I'm not looking for them to teach you anything.
Sure.
And I mean, it takes some work to do, but it's learning about marketing and it's building a brand and that sort of stuff. It's less about like the event coordination and that sort
sure.
of stuff.
Yeah.
But I mean, I have worked with another conference quite a bit called NDC, which is the Norwegian Developers Conference. That one I would squarely put in the commercial space, right? It is it's a polyglot conference, but it tends to center around the .NET Microsoft community, and the people it tends to attract are like senior developer, architect level consultants and enterprise developers and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, it's very positive, but it's also like very deep tech, right? Like, so NDC Oslo, which is their biggest one, brings in about 3,500 people. It's held in like this cool stadium in downtown Oslo, where it's like the expo hall is on the floor and there's sessions all around.
Yeah.
And it's the only conference that I've ever been to where I've gone into it and then I look on the schedule and there's like Brendan Eich and Joe Armstrong and Scott Hanselman, and they're just speakers. Like, they're not keynoting. They have a session.
Yeah.
Like, they're there to talk to people, and the people who go will have like a really deep understanding. And they're not doing like an introductory level. They're talking about like, why does this thing exist and how do you do it? And then they'll hang out and they'll talk to questions. And there might be, you know, 100 people in their session, but there's 8 other sessions running at the same time. It's just a different feel, and everybody feels much more like peers when you go to something like that.
Sure.
But part of it is it's also really expensive to go. It's not the kind of thing that you go on your own dime.
Yeah.
You have to have a kind of a training budget that, or a company who's chosen to invest in you and push you through this. And you've already kind of reached a senior level and they want to like push you farther.
Sure. So like, what sort of tiers do we have for conferences? Are there any free conferences?
Oh, there's tons of free conferences.
Okay.
So in my own area, there's a free conference this coming weekend called Twin City Code Camp. The idea behind Code Camps kind of came out of the .NET community, but there's similar ideas in all of them. Where the idea behind a Code Camp is there should be a conference that is totally free and run on a Saturday, so you don't have to take time from out of work. And is the goal of it is to kind of hone your skills and kind of grow up, like become a better developer, if you're not at a position where your company can help you do that.
Sure.
And so what that tends to attract is, you know, a little bit more junior level developers is the people who go there. They're people who can give up a Saturday, right?
Right.
When people tend to get a little bit older in their careers or just older, mm-hmm. their Saturdays are a little bit more precious, right?
Yeah.
And it's almost easier to give up a working day than a Saturday. But sure. when you're first starting out, or if you're a student, it's way easy to give up a Saturday, and you feel good about yourself if you give up a Saturday and you're not going out like day drinking. You're actually like gonna, you know, hone your craft a little bit,
right?
And so that's the audience that they tend to attract, and so therefore the speakers that like go to that and the topics that do well tend to be more introductory, both in terms of introductory to a particular tech stack or introductory into a concept. So like something like testing, like here's how you test this kind of thing, or here's how you start doing continuous integration. The kind of talks that people who are newer to the field still need to like kind of grok these ideas, those tend to do very well at free conferences. In my experience, I've tended to see a correlation between how much you have to pay to get in the door and how much the general seniority level of the people in attendance.
Okay. That makes sense. So something like O'Reilly was a longtime sponsor of mine, and I know that their stuff certainly wasn't free. The conferences got up to a couple $1,000s for a ticket, you know, for the 3 or 5 day thing. But it had the sort of lineup that you had mentioned before, the Brendan Eichs were showing up, people from Netflix, Facebook, so on and so forth. So roughly, you can sort of get what you pay for. Would you agree with that? You get what you pay for the most part?
I would agree in general. I wouldn't say that it's guaranteed. Like,
right.
If somebody comes by to you with like a fly-by-night conference that you've never heard of before, and they say, it's $10,000, yeah. You get what you pay for. Maybe be a little skeptical of that.
Right.
You know, something's been around for a few years, and there's general positive feelings about it, and then they say, hey, it's $2,000 a ticket. I would say in general, it's probably worth it if they've survived this long and
right.
People are like seeing a justification behind going to it.
Okay. So here's where I turn into a curmudgeon, right? Like the positives of going to a conference, you know, we've listed and they should be generally obvious. But in my opinion, there are a lot of pitfalls when it comes to you know, even signing up for a conference, right? And the first place we'll go is always, you know, sort of the most important thing is money, right? Now, unless you are super, unless you're willing to foot the bill, money can be a big problem when it comes to attending a conference, right?
Absolutely.
So we just talked about, you know, I don't want to pick on O'Reilly, you know, like the bigger conferences are going to cost thousands of dollars, right?
Yeah,
and it's not just the thousands of dollars for the ticket, but it's the travel, it's the hotel, right?
And it's the opportunity cost of like, you're not working.
Right. Taking a day or week off or whatever it is.
Yeah. If I have to travel, if I have to go spend a week and fly somewhere to go to a conference, that's a week that I'm not doing my job. It's a week I'm not like executing this project or billing that client or whatever is the mechanism of your job. Often that's the hardest thing to sell them on is
right.
It's not that they don't have a training budget, because a lot of, you know, bigger companies will have some sort of training budget, but that all of their projects are delayed now because you're gone that week.
Right. Not only that, but it's the, especially if they won't pay for it, then you're sort of really in a hole. And in that case, it's almost worth really making sure that you network while you're there.
Yeah.
But money's a huge factor.
It is. And there's a couple of different things for that. Like different conferences are trying to solve that problem because it is the biggest one, right? Like that's the idea behind Code Camps. Code Camps are targeting to do it on a Saturday so that you don't have that opportunity cost and are by a rule free. So if anything, there's Code Camps in like every city. So there's like Chicago Code Camps and Twin City Code Camps and Silicon Valley Code Camps and Florida Code Camps. And like just about every major city has a Code Camp. They will by definition be free. And so you should, like, if you're invested in this idea, but you can't get your company to buy in, you can still go to that. There's then intermediary things, right? So there's smaller regional conferences that tend to target, you know, a couple $100 as far as their entry fee. And so they're trying to stay within a realm that is achievable if you might have to pick it up yourself. Like if you say all the business needs to do is like not make me take my vacation days to do this and then I'll cover it myself, then you can go to these sort of things. Like you could go to KCDC in Kansas City, or you could go to IndieCode, or you could go to that conference. Sure. Those are the kind of things that, you know, it's an investment, but it's not going to break the bank. It's not sure. Asking you to pay like $2,000 to go to something.
And then there are the online only conferences, right? Where you'll save on travel and you'll save on having to take off work and everything else. And you simply, you know, pay a lesser price and then stream the conference when those are available.
True.
So my biggest issue with conferences, I'll put it bluntly, are idiots. Idiots are everywhere, and it's not just a conference thing. But the number of horror stories that I've heard from people going to conferences, especially women at conferences who've gone to conferences, are mind-blowing to me. Absolutely mind-blowing to me. The number of stories and blog posts that I've read from women who've been sexually harassed or even insulted, I cannot believe the way that some people are acting at these conferences. And it moves on to general harassment toward other people. And one of the big, I've always been trying to figure out why this is happening. Like, why you travel somewhere, get with a group of strangers or, you know, a fair amount of strangers, and act like a complete jerk.
And so, well, oftentimes it's not even strangers. It's people that you are traveling with.
Sure.
That even turn out to be, you know, assholes in a different context.
Right. Like, I've always racked my brain on this. And I don't shy away from conferences because I think I'm going to turn into that. I shy away from conferences because I don't want to be around that. I don't want to see that happening around me. And when I think about why it happens, again, harassment of any kind. One, every conference that I've ever been to always has at least one night of big drink ups, right? Where you get free drink tickets. And we all know that people can tend to act differently after a couple of drinks, right? And I'm not saying that conferences shouldn't do this, but when I hear some of these stories, I would say 90% of the time it occurs after like one of these events.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I wonder about is I wonder if sometimes it's cultural differences, like attitudes around people of different genders or people of different religions or backgrounds that causes some people to maybe not even act differently because they always act that way. But like, if you're going to go somewhere with people who either you don't know or you know mildly well, like, put on a good face, right? Like, don't show yourself to be a jerk. Like, do you know what I'm saying? Do you understand?
I do.
I don't like, I mean, nobody wants to talk about it, but it's like happening and I'm hearing about it a lot. And like, I don't have advice for people to stop this outside of being able to control themselves and call out when they see someone being a jerk to someone else.
Yeah. I don't believe that we should say don't go to conferences because this has happened.
Right, exactly.
There's so many positive benefits to doing this that shutting yourself off because we're worried that this is going to happen, I think is going to be a bad thing in the long run.
Sure.
I also think that it's not necessarily the fault of the drink up or the tendy party, because one of the other points I think is really important to make here is that it's about connecting with people is the most important thing you're going to get out of the conference. And for a lot of people, especially developers, we're not the most extroverted people to begin with. Sure. And alcohol does act as a social lubricant and kind of helps us break down some of our boundaries. And so in general, I think it is a helpful thing to make good connections with others for some people. Like, not everybody needs it, but a lot of people do. And I also think that it's not the drinking's fault that makes people do that. Like, an asshole was an asshole before they had a beer.
Sure.
It's just the beer like lowered their inhibition to not be an asshole. I think that a lot of this stems from like the cultures that are attracted to different conferences, right?
Yeah.
So a particular event is going to attract a particular kind of people. And when you put those people together in the right situation, bad shit happens. I think some conferences spend a lot of time focusing to make sure that that kind of culture doesn't happen. And I think their efforts are kind of recognized. I think you can see it when they're putting a lot of effort into attracting people who are going to be like respectful and like open and inclusive. I think those conferences do a fantastic job. And the ones that aren't spending any time doing that, those are the ones that you hear these horror stories about. And I mean, I don't want to vilify anybody and say like, oh, don't go to that one because that one has this reputation. I think right. A lot of us, I think if you spend a little bit of time researching the conferences, you'll find out the ones that have these bad stories and understand that if a bad story like that happened, it's not probably a one-time thing. It's probably something cultural with that event.
Yeah. And to the credit of the conference industry, it wasn't before like 5 years ago that I'd even heard the term code of conduct associated with anything in our industry. But I know that right now that a lot of people won't even consider going unless there's a very pronounced code of conduct. And I don't want to come off as saying don't go to conferences because this might happen, but I'd be lying if I said that I sometimes shy away from conferences in general because the thought that some of these stories that I've read in the past, I haven't read any recently, they sort of scare me a little bit. But it is important to call that out and say that it's something that's sort of been happening. And the last thing that I'll say about conferences is that there have been conferences that I did not research enough ahead of time. I just sort of heard from like word of mouth, hey, you should go to this, where I came out of it feeling not at all fulfilled. Hmm. And we're going to get to how to be successful at a conference in a moment. But I didn't do enough research and I went to it and I listened to every talk and I don't say this to be arrogant because I'm not the best programmer in the world by any stretch of the imagination, but I've gone to a few where I was like, I didn't really learn anything here. And if, you know, you had to plead with your employer to pay for all this stuff to get you there on that, and you come out of it feeling like you didn't learn very much, that is really frustrating, especially for, like, your employer has the right to be frustrated too, you know, if you didn't come back with anything else. Can you think of any other, I guess, downside pitfalls of conferences, things to be aware of? Not to put you on the spot or anything.
Yeah, the two big downsides I think there's three downsides. We talked about them, but I'm going to be explicit about them. The first is like actual cost. The cost to fly there, the cost to buy a ticket, the cost to do all the, like, you're going to buy food, you're going to buy beer. Like, the cost is going to take you to do this. The second is like the opportunity cost is you're going to take a week to go off and do this thing. Could you have done something better in a week for you? Like, if you had done your regular job, would that have been better? If you would have taken a week off and just done a side project in, you know, a different tech stack, would you have learned more?
Sure.
So the opportunity cost. And then the third is that you just straight up have a bad experience. That, like, the third, like, the big that downside is that you came away feeling worse than you did when you started, because either it was not for you, or just because it attracts assholes that, like, you know, kind of beat you down and made you feel not good about the community or the industry. Right. I'd say those are the three costs, the downsides to why you would not do it, or things that could go wrong.
Okay. So how could I, let's say I'm ready to give conferences another shot, I'm excited to do this. How can I be successful at a conference? What are the steps I could take to make sure that I got something out of it?
The first thing I think you need to do is you need to know, what do you want to get out of it? Like, before you try and justify it to your boss or start researching conferences, what do you want? Do you want to, like, expand your connection pool? Like, do you want to network with people? Do you want to see your lack of connections as a limiting factor in your life? Do you want to, like, learn and understand something about a new framework and you need, like, the focus time to do it? Do you want to understand more about the internals? Do you want to just get like a broad overview of what's happening in an industry and get like other people's perspectives? Like, what do you want? What are you trying to do? Some conferences are going to focus very much on making you feel good. Honestly, like, motivation is one reason some people go to conferences. There's a couple of conferences I've been to that they tend to, in my experience, they've been more in the open source space, but I don't know that I have enough background to know if that's more likely or less likely. But it was almost exclusively like inspirational kind of talks. Like, I didn't come away knowing how something worked better. I didn't come away with a tangible like idea of like, oh, I'm going to try and write it like this instead. It was all about like, hey, this thing is awesome. Developers can do anything. We should get more people into our industry. And that was like the feeling, the purpose behind the conference, sure. which is fine. It's just, if you go to the conference not expecting to come away with skills, you're going to be disappointed. Or if you're going to a conference expecting to get inspired and it's a bunch of like dry technical talks, you're going to come away not feeling inspired. So you got to know what it is you want. What is it you're trying to do? And then you can go off and start doing your research to figure out what kind of conferences like are going to fill that need for you. What are conferences that have inspired that in others? Get some peer reviews, like talk to people around you. Like, what have they gone to? What did they like? Was it an inspirational conference? Was it a technical conference? Was it a commercial conference? Like, what was it? And make sure you go to the one that's going to meet your needs. Once you've kind of picked the one you want to go to, you got to justify it to your boss, probably, right? And so articulate that. Articulate out, hey, here's what I think I need to be more successful in my job and in my life and in my career. And here's how I think I can do it. And here is the cost. Here's like, I want to take this flight. I'm going to stay in this hotel. Here's how much the tickets cost. I'm going to be gone for this. Here's when I think it fits in our schedule. And do it far enough ahead of time that they can plan for it.
Right.
Because oftentimes that's the hardest part. It's just they need to work it into their plans for the year so that they don't miss a deadline and get their butt chewed out by their boss.
Right.
Right?
And I especially like your point about laying out the cost, the time, putting it all in one place, because that's something that can be passed on up through approvals, and it's solid explicit information about what is going to happen and when.
Yeah. As a brief aside, I know that's not what this what our topic about is today. If that cost is too high or that opportunity cost is too high, try submitting your ideas to speak at that conference. Because often those conferences will either pay for your travel or at least help you with it. They'll right. definitely give you the free ticket. And sometimes your business, your boss will be way more accommodating to let you do that if you're going to that conference representing your company.
That's like, really
going in and saying, hey, I'm here from Mozilla. I'm going to talk about this thing. Here's how awesome it is. If you want to come work with me, come apply for a job at Mozilla or whatever your company is. It can kind of smooth those wheels. And I know a lot of people who've gotten into speaking at conferences by following that path. It was, how do they get the justification to do it?
That's a great idea.
So then let's say that you win. Let's say you've got approval, you got in, and you're going to this conference. How do you be successful there? Often conferences will have two different kinds of sessions, right? There'll be regular sessions during the conference, and then there might be workshops beforehand. You should really look at workshops. Like, one of the things I hear people often complain about with going to sessions is that they didn't really learn anything. It was all very introductory. It was a rehash of the intro blog post, blah, blah, blah. And that's really all you really have time to do for a lot of 1 hour sessions, right?
Right.
If I'm putting together a talk on React, what can I talk about in an hour? I can talk about very small things, or I can talk about a case study about how I did something. I can give you usually trivial examples of how different small pieces work. But if you're not familiar, you can't really you're not going to get up and learn it. It's more about inspiring your own interest to go and learn more is what you can do in an hour. If you want that actual hands-on, you should do a workshop. You should go in and somebody will have prepared an all-day set of training of here's an example. We'll build an example app over the course of the day that does all of these different things. Yeah. And they'll give you hands-on feedback and that sort of stuff. And those are really valuable. As a first-hand instruction, you can ask your questions directly. You don't have to be you get stuck and you have to go to Stack Overflow and figure out what am sure. I doing wrong? Yeah. You'll be talking directly to somebody who's been down that path and can answer your questions. And so often that's a good way to accelerate learning a new tech stack.
Absolutely. Yeah. I've been in that position, as I mentioned earlier, where I was I didn't get anything out of this, but if I sort of went a different step earlier in the day and hit a workshop, I probably would have been much more fulfilled because I was able to code and I was able to see things work. Well, in my case, break, but, eventually get things to work. And I would, that's more my learning style.
So then when you get onto the main conference and it's time to pick sessions, right? You'll get a big grid of here's all the stuff happening. And you try and decide what do you want to go to? Remember those same constraints, right? There are hour long sessions or maybe half hour sessions, or, it depends on the event. They can't teach you a real deep thing.
Right.
What most sessions are going to be out is either an intro to a topic or a case study on a topic or a particular feature within a stack. That's generally how you could classify most talks. Or then there's a bunch of soft skills talks usually about here's how you do a better job selling your products or here's how you deal with stress or those sort of things. And those are really important topics too. You should probably go to a few of those. I went to actually a fantastic session by Matthew Renzi at IndieCode earlier this week about mindfulness and meditation. It was actually really cool. He had done a bunch of the science stuff behind it. It was probably actually my favorite session I went to of the whole conference was that one. But when you're looking at that, make sure you understand what you're going to be able to take away when you go into those. Don't go in expecting a bunch of hands-on knowledge from an intro to Vue course, right? Expect right. to if you haven't, read the basic docs and you just want to know generally how it works, spend an hour and then that course will teach it to you, right?
Yeah.
If you want to know where is this particular tech going, maybe you should go to that talk. But the qualifier to that is you should also look at who's teaching it, right? Everybody has their bias. Everybody has their own motivation behind why they're doing it. So if you go to, say, a talk about an upcoming Microsoft technology, and the speaker is somebody who works at Microsoft, they are probably going to paint the rosiest possible picture of that technology
sure.
and what it's great for.
Yeah.
which is, as long as you're aware of that bias, go in, but don't expect them to tell you, here's what's good for and here what's bad for. Right. They're not going to tell you the what it's bad for.
Right.
And that, I mean, that's, I'm not picking on Microsoft. I'm not trying to pick on Microsoft. I'm saying everybody, like if you go to a session about what's new with Firefox and it's from somebody at Mozilla, they're going to tell you about why Firefox is awesome.
Right.
Because that's why they're there. Right. They're not going to tell you, yeah, but we still suck compared to Chrome in these four ways.
Whoa. That doesn't exist in any four ways. But I understand what you're saying. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
And so understand like the motivation. So when you're looking at those sessions on what to pick, look at that, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes I'll go to a session just because I want to see that speaker. Like there's some people who are just like just crazy smart and they are on the forefront and you just want to see what they have to say. An example of this one I'd say would be Gary Bernhardt. If I'm ever at a conference and Gary Bernhardt is there, I will watch whatever he has to say about any topic. This is the guy, his most famous thing is the WAT talk that he did at, I think, CodeMash. It's that stupid, you know, let's talk about JavaScript, na-na-na-na-na-na-na, Batman thing that circled the internet for a long time. That's probably his most famous talk. But that was just like a little lightning talk he did on the side. He's done some really like in-depth talks about like core software design, and the dude is just wicked smart. And so I'll go to see anything that he does. And so you should look at not only what the topics are, but who's speaking. Oftentimes you'll hit one or more sessions, time slots through the course of the conference where there is just nothing you are super interested in. Don't go to a session. Stay in the hallway. Right. There, at any given session, there is a bunch of people who just don't go to. I know people who go to conferences and barely go to any sessions at all. They're there for what? For the hallway track is kind of how it's commonly known. Just to talk to people. Walk up to a group of people that you don't know in the hallway track or during lunch or during the opening and introduce yourself. It's why everybody's there. So say, hey, I'm Todd. How are you guys doing? What do you work on? And people will tell you stories about what they work on, what company they're in. And sometimes, you know, sometimes it won't be super interesting and you'll politely excuse yourself from the conversation later. And other times you'll meet awesome people working on really cool things.
That's one mistake that I think a lot of new people to our industry make, is that they go to conferences and they don't put themselves out there. And that's something that even if you're a super introvert, you have to try and meet people. You have to try and network. And even if you're happy in your job right now and you aren't looking for something else, networking is going to pay off in some way at some point. So that would be my number one tip for people, is to network, meet people, put yourself out there, and do exactly what you just said.
Absolutely. And you're going to have lots of different chances throughout the course of a conference, of a day, to do it. Like when you show up in the morning at the conference and there's registration and people are milling about, find a group of people to talk to then, right? And then the sessions will start. And then sometime throughout the course of the day, there'll be a session that you do the hallway track. Every time you do that, or between every session that there's a break, meet a new group of people.
Right.
At the after party, meet several groups of people. At lunch, sit down with a group of people you don't know. It's super hard. I don't mean to like push you and make it sound easy, because I know it's not easy. Like, again, kind of going back to alcohol, like it is a fantastic social enabler for me. There were several times when I would go to a conference with a flask of bourbon with me in order to be like, I'm going here to meet a group of people I don't know. I'm gonna have a little liquid courage before I go and do it. So some of my closest friends actually now that I meet at a lot of conferences in Europe, I met on one particular occasion. The first time I went to NDC Oslo, I was there all by myself. Like I flew out there, it was just me, and I didn't know anybody there. I didn't know anybody in the community. It was just me flying in. And so anybody I would talk to, it would be a new connection for me. And I went to the after party, like you should, and after, you know, a pint in me for some liquid courage, I went and sat down at a table which of some of the like the loudest, most boisterous people at this party. And I sat down and I said, you look like you're my kind of nerds. Can I join you? And I sat down, and it turns out like I'm super good friends with everybody who is at that table now. And I see them at all kinds of events, and they're all awesome. Like one of them is like DevOps at OpenTable. Two others started a company. One of them, she's like a AI researcher at Google now.
Oh, wow.
Like these are awesome people, like that you've never met if you just don't throw yourself in there. So I think it is super important. It is the biggest impact you're going to get from a conference is not what you learned in a session. It's who you meet.
Absolutely. Even if it's difficult to put yourself out there, you have to do it.
I mean, if it's difficult, it just means you don't have a lot of practice in it, right? Things that are harder, just stuff that you haven't worked out the kinks on how to do it. So
absolutely,
you should do it more.
Okay, great. So before we get to our key takeaways, this was a lot of fun. What is your favorite conference? I was almost going to say concert. I knew I'd say it at some point. What is your favorite conference that you've ever been to and why?
My favorite conference I've ever been to. I actually want to say two different ones because they were good for different reasons. My favorite one, the one I look back at and I just had the best time, was 2014 NDC Oslo. And that was that first year that I went. Maybe it was 2013. And it was hard. It was one of the most emotionally exhausting events I've ever been to because I was always throwing myself out there. But that was an event where I rode the elevator down in the hotel with Brendan Eich. And nice. Like we chatted. Like it was just small talk, but it was him and I in an elevator for 14 floors or whatever. And I shared a session time slot with Joe Armstrong, who is the creator of Erlang and that sort of stuff, mm-hmm. and Troy Hunt, who's, you know, the security researcher, does Have You Been Pwned? And then, like, just looking at the time schedule, it's those two and me and a bunch of other people. Right. And it was just like, that's amazing. Like, these are amazing people here and then me that they invited.
Sure.
And everybody that I talked to was new, and it was a hard connection to make emotionally to, like, go up and do that. But every single person I talked to was just, like, out of this world amazing in what they were working on. Like, they were building AI trees in JavaScript. And one person had, like, ported this language into, like, node bots. And another person was, like, building these automation systems for these giant, like, oil ships coming out of the North Sea. Oh, wow. It's just like these people were working on amazing tech. Everybody had, like, this fantastic story to tell. And I was part of that community, and it was just super cool and super empowering. And I came away from it with a ton of really important connections.
Yeah.
The other one I'll say is actually a small conference called That Conference.
What conference? It's That Conference. Yeah,
it's the joke. It's actually right in your backyard, dude. It's in Wisconsin Dells.
Oh, boy.
Every August. And the reason why I like that one, I've been to that one almost every year. I think they've been going like 7 or 8 years now. The reason why that one is super cool is just the emphasis that they put on community and inclusiveness. It is a family-centric conference. When you go to it, they encourage you to bring like your spouse and your kids. They rent out the Kalahari Water Park there. And basically the whole water park is the conference. There are kids tracks. Like people come in and somebody who speaks there often, her name is Sharon. She'll build like this whole like workshop for kids about building electric circuits with Play-Doh and engage the kids to do it. It's a really like an inclusive thing that like can bring together a much wider view of technology than what most conferences do.
Sure.
And I think what they're doing is just really kind of unique and special.
Awesome.
What I mean, I know you haven't been to a lot, but are there any that you would say were just really, you came away from it like really empowered and really like you thought it was a worthwhile use of your time?
I did, but I'm going to share my Brendan Eich conference story really quick. So Mozilla, it was like 3 or 4 years ago, Santa Cruz or Santa Clara, and it was the opening night party, and I got to watch Brendan Eich do karaoke in front of the entire company. That was good. And I was able to buy him a drink. And he's like, why are you doing this? You know, Mozilla's paying for them. And I was like, you gave me a career. I'm going to buy you a drink, goddammit. And I did. But the best conference that I ever went to was actually not necessarily a coding conference. Mozilla sent me to GDC, the Game Developer Conference in San Francisco. Yeah. And I was there to help represent games inside Firefox and our web VR effort. And it was amazing. And not just because, you know, people were playing shoot 'em up games in VR, or, you know, I was seeing all these new experiences when the HTC Vive first had come out. It was that it gave me, it made me think about coding and software engineering in a completely different way than I had before. You know, I think about stuff inside the browser. I think about, you know, the little JavaScript and CSS differences we need to do. But the differences in problems that they have to try and solve in the gaming industry from a code and software perspective are completely different. And it really, like, inspired me and opened my mind to thinking about coding in 3D and other ways of doing things. So that was my favorite.
That's cool, man. Sounds like a cool event.
It was a great event. Key takeaways from today. Go.
Key takeaways. All right. The biggest thing that I would say that I think a lot of people struggle with is, if you're going to a software conference, don't spend all of your energy and emotional energy getting up and going to the sessions throughout the day. You'll learn a lot from sessions, but it's not the main thing you're going to take away from the event. The main thing you're going to take away is the interactions and the people you're going to meet. So save some of that energy to go to the after party. It's incredibly important. Go to that where, you know, people's boundaries are starting to get tore down, and they'll start talking to you about, like, what they're really working on and what they really think about stuff. And you can make some amazing friendships and some amazing connections. You just put yourself out there and meet new people. I think it's incredibly important. And one of the probably the most important, the most valuable part about going to those sort of events.
For me, I agree with everything that you just said. When I went to conferences in my early days and I didn't enjoy them, it was because I didn't spend time meeting people. I spent all day inside of sessions, and I left feeling like everything that I learned, I could have learned in a blog post or a book if I felt like I'd learned anything. So 100%, go out and network, especially if you had to fight like hell to get sent to the conference, because there are other businesses that are sometimes more willing to send their employees there to learn.
Yeah.
That's my takeaway.
So related to that, we mentioned earlier PubConf, which is this thing that I run with a bunch of conferences. That was one of the ideas behind starting it, is that, hey, all of my favorite memories from conferences have come from the after parties. Let's create a conference that is just after party. So if you're going to a conference where there is going to be a PubConf, like NDC Minnesota in May, NDC Oslo in June, or KCDC in July, because those are the three conferences I'm partnering with, definitely buy a ticket and come to PubConf, because it is all party, it is all networking, and some of the coolest and smartest and funniest developers I have ever met are going to be there.
Awesome.
That's my plug. Was that obvious that I was just doing a plug for PubConf.io?
I had my dictionary open to shameless, and I was trying to figure out if that was the definition.
Yeah, basically, big picture of me doing that right there.
Awesome.
All right. Well, I think that is our topic for today. Thanks so much for everybody who joined us live and who are going to watch us later. If you have questions for what kind of things we should talk about on a future show, please fire them at us on Twitter or leave a comment. Until next time, I'm Todd Gardner and my co-host,
David Walsh. Go out and get Firefox Nightly, people. It's looking beautiful.
Now there's your picture.
That's my shameless plug.
All right, sounds good. See you later, everybody. The Script and Style Show is recorded and produced by David Walsh and Todd Gardner. We'll see you next time on Script and Style.